All righty, we're on the road today, Radio Row, USAA, Army, Navy, Radio Row, and we are here all the way up until 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific time. It is the Zach Gelb Show. Fun hour number one. We did have Robert Griffin III stop by. At some point this hour, we'll be joined by our old co-worker in Brian Jones. And trust me, when he's here, you'll know it because he is a very loud individual. And then E.J. Manuel will join us coming up later on in the hour. And Ron Rivera, the former head football coach, see him popping up a few times on the NFL Network, is going to join us as well. So a whole lot to do today. We get you set for Army-Navy coming up tomorrow. Should be a fun one. Bryson Daly, you know, we had Jeff Monken on early in the week, and I thought Bryson Daly was someone that should have got more Heisman Trophy consideration. It would have been nice to see him be a Heisman Trophy finalist, but I think a big reason why he didn't get there is, for people that don't know, when you get a Heisman Trophy vote, you only get three votes. So it is basically a blank online sheet, and it says first place, second place, third place. You need to put in the name and then the school where the athlete that you're selecting is participating in. So it's clear two names that have to be on everyone's list this year are Ashton Gentry and Travis Hunter, right? They have to be, I would say, one or two. And then it was, who's your third place vote? So when you look at the quarterbacks, Bryson Daly had a really good season and a really special season. But with that being said, it felt like the conversation for that third place vote was either Cam Ward, was Shedeur Sanders, or even Dylan Gabriel. We know that Cam Ward and Dylan Gabriel were two out of the four Heisman Trophy finalists, with the other two being Travis Hunter and also Ashton Gentry. So I would say this, if I could talk to the Heisman Trophy Trust, I would say let's do five votes. You get a first, a second, a third, a fourth, and a fifth place vote. And then I think then you could have it be a little bit more open up for guys like a Bryson Daly or a Cam Scataboo that comes out of Arizona State, and a few other guys as well, just because of the fact that when you only pigeonhole yourselves into three votes, it kind of doesn't let you give some shine to some other people. And also, hey, when it's a third place finish, sometimes then guys vote some lesser known people rather than the guys that are actually deserving there in this spot. And you know, let me tell you something. Things about to get a little bit crazy here. Because I'll tell you, in the history of our network, I would say the loudest host ever in the history of the network is Brian Jones. Maybe Scotty Farrell would also be in that mix. You know, shake it up. We're here with Brian Jones. Wake your ass up. And then I would also say I got to be in that mix because I'm one loud, bloviating individual as well. But now joining us here, USAA, Army-Navy, Radio Row. You see him all the time on CBS throughout the football season, the college football season. He does a great job on the pre and post show. And that is our guy, Brian Jones, who, by the way, has maybe the best beard on television right now. I would go sit down with you at Westville. And I would get you some bacon because I know you like that bacon at Westville.
Oh, the best!
And we would have a grand old time. How you been?
I am great. You?
I can't complain. I've been fantastic.
This outfit, dude. What's up? Where I get one?
You go to Shinesty.
Shinesty.
So Geo is sponsored by Shinesty.
Okay.
They are a ball hammock underwear. So if you know you need to be a little bit more comfortable down there, you could get some better underwear. And then also they make these like
or you can
great
go commando.
Suits. You could. Is that what you do on CBS
I'm
Sports?
I'm not telling you my business.
So last time I saw you,
yes, sir.
I called my attorney afterwards because you assaulted me. Do you remember assaulting me in person?
I assaulted you. How many years ago was this?
This was last year at Radio Row for the Super Bowl.
What did I do?
Well, I saw you walking past me, and I said, there's Brian Jones, and in a joking way, and I'm going to move away when I do this, I said, horns down, horns down. And you came across as if I was like a running back, and you go, don't you ever do that.
And you
punched
me. Again.
Yeah, horns down.
And you just punched me.
Oh, well, now you can sue me back.
Don't ever do the inverted hook'em.
Why do you
unless
guys...
Unless you have a death wish.
Why do you guys get so sensitive?
Because you are desecrating our sign. What do you mean, why the hell we get sensitive? That's our sign. That's our symbol, and you're desecrating.
Well, I'm just glad now you guys are in the SEC because they let people now do horns down.
Well, I wasn't one that was advocating for them to outlaw it. If you want to stop people from doing it, kick their ass on the field or on the court. That's the only way you stop it. But, yeah, people do it. There's a time-honored history to poo-poo the Longhorns. And so now they're doing it in the SEC. with the refs last week as well. They were in on it also. Yeah.
That SEC championship game, it was over at halftime because you guys should have been up by a whole lot more.
Should have been 21-0.
Yeah.
At least.
And once you went into halftime, and I think it was 6-3.
6-3.
And you knew that Carson Beck got hurt. I sat there and I said, I've been watching Carson Beck all season. You never want to see somebody get hurt, but their offense is going to get a jolt of energy because Beck has just been so erratic this year.
It was – and I go back and watch the game tape each and every week, and it was excruciating to watch because they played so well, especially defensively. Yeah, I'm freezing. These are my hand
warmers. Yeah, I was
sweating. It's freaking cold.
Where do you live now?
Texas, Austin. It was 70 degrees yesterday.
But you're in New York all the time. This isn't cold to you.
I go in the hotel, to the car, to the studio.
Hotel, motel,
studio, to the car, to the hotel. Especially this time of year when it's freezing cold.
Yeah.
So I'm watching that tape. And
you need some moisturizer, by the way, on those hands.
You're telling me. This is ashy season. I know I need some moisturizer. Minus 20 out here to my body. I got some moisturizer. Yeah. You just be quiet over there, old flag, you.
I saw Urban Meyer. I wanted to walk up to him and be like, are you going to try to plant me to get some revenge? What? How ridiculous was that, by the way?
Oh, stupid, and they need to stop. And I'm glad Sark stopped some of our players during the Texas A&M game.
I mean, what's wrong with flag planting?
That's ridiculous.
You win the game.
You win the game. Take that. That's enough. You have bragging rights for 365 days or whenever you play them again. That's more than enough. Don't try to disrespect them, especially in their own on their own field. Just take your dub, celebrate with your teammates, and get out of Dodge. Well, That's all you need to do.
Why can't those Ohio State players, those losers that lost the game, just get off the field? You lost.
You're
go home.
You're not going to desecrate my damn field, okay?
What's the big deal? That's the big deal. It's a fun celebration.
Well, you're going to try to plant one. See what happened to you.
Yeah, you'll probably assault me again.
Exactly. You can get assaulted. Correct.
This Texas team, and last year I thought Texas was going to win the Big 12. This year I thought they would be good. But I look at them this year, their best win is what, A&M? Are they a serious contender to go win it all?
Yes, when they play well. Yes, they're a serious contender, unless they face Georgia.
So you think they could be any team but Georgia?
Yeah, and they've proven they can't. And they, as you just said, they should have been up 21-0. They come back in the second half. They can't stop the run. And for the life of me, I don't know why you don't put 11 in the box and force Gunnar Stockton to throw the ball. I'd be damned if you're going to run on me. You're going to have to prove to us that you can pass Mr. Backup Quarterback. And they couldn't stop him. They couldn't stop ETN, who once again had two touchdowns, almost 100 yards. So, yes, they're a legitimate football team. They play great. They just can't do it against Georgia for some reason. And you're not going to have as many opportunities when you play a comparable opponent such as Georgia. You've got to execute on the limited opportunities you have. Guys were open, and they just missed them. And I say they, the quarterback, yours missed them. Guys were open. It had touchdowns. There were touchdowns to be had, and yet they didn't execute.
How much of a chance do you give Clemson in this one?
I give them a good chance. They got a running game with Maffa. This defense, watch this number three, T.J. Parker. I think he's got 11, 12 sacks. This guy is bad. And he showed up last week versus SMU, made a ton of plays. They've got a good defense. They'll be ready to go. And Klubnik's going home. He's going back to Austin, so you know he's going to want to show out.
How about the quarterback situation? Because Quinn Ewers, I feel like, is one of the most disrespected quarterbacks the last 2 years, and all the guy does is win. But there is still
a part of Texas,
even in the SEC championship game, I'm sitting there, I go, I know the last time they played Georgia, they put Arch in for like two drives and they went back to Quinn. I was sitting there and I go, maybe we'll see Arch in the second half.
Well, you saw him a couple times. I know there was a fourth down play, I believe. They snapped it through his hands to Blue and they got the first down. Far be it for me to tell Coach Sarkisian how to run his team. He's forgotten more football than I've ever known. But I know this. It's a mixed bag with yours at times. So he's on and then he's off. And once again, there were shots to be had. That last PI on Georgia when you went and kicked the tying field goal, it should have been a touchdown to number five, Wingo. He was open. Lead the guy. Get the ball there. 3 years now, you've been watching this mixed bag where some days your starting quarterback is on, other days he's off. And you just can't have that. Not 3 years into this.
Do you think Quinn's definitely going to the pros after this?
I have no idea what his future holds. None whatsoever, and I'm not going to speculate.
Okay. Now, how about Arch? Because for me, I look at this the last 2 years, and I've just been sitting there, and I've been watching, and I go, wait till Arch Manning. Wait till we see the full Arch Manning show. It feels like it's the last 2 years have been very successful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, kind of like pigs in the blanket at a wedding. Like, they could be the best part of the night, but you're always wondering what's coming next, and that's what I'm really excited to see with
Arch. You have pigs in the blanket at the weddings you go to?
Yeah.
What type of weddings you going to, man?
It's a Jewish wedding.
They have pig?
Pigs in the blanket.
Yeah, you're supposed to be eating pork.
Let me tell you something.
What kind of Jewish wedding where they going to have pork?
I'm not kosher. You think this body's kosher? Come on.
No, that ain't no kosher.
But
take that flag off. We can't have our flag wrapped around a non-kosher
body.
You
know what? Hook them. See, now I can do whatever I want. But when I look at kind of Texas and Arch Manning, I think it's just going to be so fun. And really, back to the pigs in the blanket, too. I don't care if you're Democrat. I don't care if you're Republican. I got family members. They just fight over politics. You put a pig in a blanket in front of everyone, everyone's happy.
No way.
Yeah,
really?
Everyone's happy.
I love me a pig in a blanket. Rooter to the tutor, even eat the oink.
All right, how about Boise State? We're on KTIK. You know this, doing the national show in Boise. Ashton Gentry, I heard you the other night. You think he should win the Heisman Trophy?
Yeah, I would have him in the one hole right now. What he did was just magnificent. Everyone stacked the box. They knew they needed to stop him, and they couldn't. So, yeah, when everyone's loading up to stop you, and we were just discussing what Texas should have done, forcing Gunnar Stockton to pass the ball. Everyone's loading up to stop this kid, and they can't. So, yeah, I think he's the reason Boise is sitting there in the playoffs currently, the reason they won another Mountain West championship. So, yeah, I think he should be in that one hole, but I'm not at liberty to divulge who I'm voted for since I'm a Heisman voter.
Same here, but I would agree.
Who'd
with
you
your
vote for?
I would agree with your analysis that you said last night on CBS Sports and what you said about Gentry.
What'd I say?
You said he should win the award.
Oh, I can't remember what I said.
You got to be careful there. Fact or fiction, one of Arizona State or Boise State will make it to the semifinal.
Oh, that's fiction. Neither. Because I'm hoping Arizona State plays my Longhorns, so that means they beat Clemson, and then they'll beat Arizona State. But Cam Scataboo, he's had a Heisman-worthy season as well. That's John Riggins 2.0 being here in Washington. He is a heck of a running back, another transfer, and everything Dittingham has done there, man. That's overcoming the sanctions, the probation, and he's got 60 new faces on that roster this season. And what, they won 6 straight ball games?
That's kind of the sport now.
Yeah, well, it is, but it's still not easy to do.
No, sure.
If it was easy, everyone would see immediate success. Of course, he's done it over 2 seasons, only winning 3 games a year ago, but they've got a hell of a football team playing with a lot of confidence.
And then Penn State SMU, you trust whoever survives there? I think it's going to be Penn State to beat Boise?
I'm going to take Penn State, but don't be surprised if SMU wins. They are a damn good football team. You turn on that tape, it's speed all over the place, and they ball out. Speed on defense, offense, this Jennings kid, for him to win. Preston Stone came in with all this hype. He's going to be the guy. And Jennings takes over, and that team doesn't skip a beat. They play ferocious defense. So I'm taking Penn State, but I'm not shocked if SMU wins.
And then wrapping up with Brian Jones here on behalf of USAA, Army, Navy, Radio Row, Belichick to UNC. Where do you lie on this?
Well, it's where the NIL lie. Where does that lie? Because everyone's wondering, I can't see Belichick going into someone's home. You don't have to see him.
No.
As long as that money bag shows up.
And Coach Prime hasn't done an in-house visit.
Thank you. It's a new game. And here's the deal. His selling point, you want to get to that NFL, much like Deion. You want to get there? Well, go to one of the best that's ever coached at that level, and he's going to teach you how to get there. Now, his personality may not scream, hey, I'm a college football coach, but that football acumen definitely does. And you're going to have some kids that want to learn from a man such as him.
All righty. Bring some gloves next time.
I left the gloves in my hotel room, dude.
So how long
are we
going to
have? Are we going to have a
how long were you outside for?
State the obvious conversation.
How long were you outside for?
For about 2 hours. We just had a rehearsal.
Oh,
I came straight from rehearsal.
Well, why didn't you say so? I thought you were.
You
just,
didn't ask me.
I just did, and you got annoyed at me for asking you.
Kick your ass on your radio show.
There he is, Brian Jones.
Do it again. I dare you.
What?
You know what? Do it.
Horns up.
There you go.
You know what happens with horns up? They go down. They go down.
Hey, man, give me that shank.
Yeah.
Give me that shank.
Myself and Mike Biseglia will be hiding for years.
This is your last radio segment.
I'm going to get whacked. Brian Jones is going to turn into be an Italian. He's going to whack me tonight. You're going to get rid of me. Not the way that you thought of it. I mean, like, I'm in the hotel room, and then you get a, like, a baseball bat whack me.
No. What do you mean the way I thought of it?
I know how you, I saw your eyes the way that they went
I
up.
Was looking at something else. Yeah, I wasn't even paying attention to you. Something much prettier walked by. I had forgotten you were even here.
Yeah. Good to see you.
You still here?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm saying goodbye to you.
Oh, bye.
I got to do a live read, so you can leave if
flag.
You want. Good to see you. There he is,
who's
Brian
that
Jones.
Who did the flag? What's her name?
Shinesty.
No. Soon the original lady who sold it, Susan B. Anthony. Wasn't it Susan B. Anthony?
Oh, Betsy Ross.
Betsy Ross. Betsy Ross. Yeah. Who was Susan B. Anthony? What'd she do?
I don't know. I
get my white women mixed
up.
Yeah. Especially the ones in history.
All right. Good to see you. We'll take a timeout. Zach Gill Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. Back after these short messages. Football season is in full swing, and you can take full advantage by winning some cash with Sleeper Picks. Sleeper Picks is a fantasy game, but you can win real money. Just pick more or less, at least two of your favorite player stats, and if you're right, you could win. You could pick up to 8 players. Don't pick any of those Texas players if you want to suck up to Brian Jones. But you can pick up to 8 players with up to 100 times your money. For a limited time, Sleeper's special offer. New users just have to play $5, and they'll receive $55 in free bonus entries. That's right. If you deposit $25 and play $5, they'll give you 11 $5 bonus entries to start playing. So download the Sleeper app now and use promo code SCORE and get on this promo before time runs out. What are you waiting for? Download Sleeper today and unlock one of the fastest-growing fantasy sports apps in the world. Use code SCORE to claim the play $5, get $55 bonus entry offer. That's code SCORE. Must be at least 18 years old in most states and present in state where it is legal to wager. Promo code location, other restrictions apply. Minimum deposit $25. See terms of use or details at sleeper.com. Please play responsibly. Call 1-800-426-2537 for help. Sponsored by Sleeper, a Blitz product.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb.
All right, it's time. Onside, Offside, Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network here, USAA, Army, Navy, Radio Row. EJ Manuel going to join us coming up in 15 minutes from now. But first, we go to Stu.
All right, Zach, so the Rams, as we talked about at the start of the show, they defeated the Niners 12-6 in a sloppy game last night to effectively end San Fran's season. Not only are last year's NFC champs now 6-8 and will almost certainly need to win out, we also had linebacker Devondre Campbell refusing to play midway through the game.
Now he's gone. He cut.
He's gone. Onsides, offsides, this era of the 49ers has peaked, and they will fail to win a Super Bowl.
It's a good question. Because it's getting ugly now. Brandon Ayuk out for the season. McCaffrey out for the season. You know, I have a lot of sympathy for what Trent Williams is going through. But I take a look at this 49ers group. When you have this bad of a season, I think they could get back next year. But are you going to get back? Like, they could be a playoff team next year. But are you going to be able to be a Super Bowl contender? And inevitably, you're going to have to pay Brock Purdy. And depending on what the numbers are in that contract, that could really make a lot of guys that you had there for years lose their job. Like, I look at a Deebo Samuel. He's slowing down. You probably got to trade him at the end of the season. Like, someone's got to go. So I think they could retool and they could get back to the postseason. But in terms of winning a Super Bowl, I think that ship has sailed because there was such a mental hurdle to overcome anyway. When you're up by 10 twice, I know it's in Mahomes, I know it's the Chiefs, but you're up by 10 twice up against Kansas City and you don't win one, and now we're seeing this group bottom out, you could restore the ship a little bit, but is it ever going to sail as smoothly as it did in the past? And even then, it needs to sail better. I'm going to say no. So this era of the 49ers has peaked and they will fail to win a Super Bowl. Yeah, I'm going to say onside on that one. I don't think they're going to win a Super Bowl.
So there could be a quarterback change in New Orleans on Sunday as Jake Haener is expected to start against the Commanders if Derek Carr can't go, as he is trying to overcome a concussion as well as a fracture to his non-throwing hand. It would be the fourth game missed for Carr this season, who has 2 years left on his contract after this season. So onside, offsides, the Saints should move on from Carr after this season, even if they're not in a position to draft a quarterback.
I'm going to say offside to that because in the draft, it's not even a foregone conclusion that they're going to be able to get a quarterback. You know, I know they haven't won a lot of games, but I think they've already won enough games where it looks like the Giants and the Raiders are going to be those two teams that end up getting the quarterbacks. And I've said this for a while. if it is not Shedeur Sanders, if it's not Cam Ward, I'm not interested in picking you in the top 10 of this draft. So, if you know me, I'm not a big fan of Carr. I don't think Carr should be a starting quarterback in this league. But when you look at it, he's still fine enough where he could put up good stats. But I don't feel confident if that is the guy perceived to be my franchise quarterback. But even if you do bring someone in, they're going to be ready to start away. Like, I don't think it's a bad thing to have that veteran voice there, even though we've seen Carr with the Raiders, and I know that was a messy situation, but walk away from the team afterwards. But when you ask me the Saints should move on from Carr after the season, even if they're not in a position to draft a quarterback, I'm going to go offside just because of what the contract is.
Offside!
All right, the Dolphins have released wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. earlier today in what was described as a mutual parting of ways with 4 weeks ago in the season. Now, after signing a one-year deal with Miami this offseason, the now 32-year-old had just 9 catches for 55 yards and 0 touchdowns in, of course, limited action. Onsides, offsides, OBJ has played his last meaningful snap in the NFL.
Yeah, onsides. The last time we saw OBJ really be productive, I would say it was the Rams, right? He caught that touchdown in the Super Bowl and then unfortunately blew out his leg. You know, he had a few moments with the Ravens a year ago, but you look at the way that he was hyped up and the way that he played early on in his career, I thought we were seeing one of the greatest wide receivers of all time with the run that he had the first 3-4 years in the league. But then all the injuries started to pile up. It did not work out in Cleveland. Unfortunately, he could have been on his way to winning a Super Bowl MVP with the Rams, and then his knee gets hurt after catching that touchdown pass. And ever since then, it's just like, it's the old broken down car. Like, you loved it, you drove it for all those years, but you know you got to get a new car. I don't see why another team would bring in OBJ if they're trying to seriously win football games. The juice just isn't worth the squeeze anymore. So Odell Beckham Jr. has played his last meaningful snap in the NFL. It felt that way like 2 years ago, so now it really feels that way onside.
So NCAA President Charlie Baker revealed this week that the NCAA basketball tournaments could be expanding to 72 or even 76 teams in the coming years. He said, quote, "I am bullish on the conversations we've had going from 72 or 76, and I think the committees are willing to consider that, but I don't think that it's going to be anything beyond that," end of quote. Onsides, offsides, going to 72 or 76 teams would be a bad thing for the sport of college basketball.
Do we really need to expand them that much more? The way the NCAA, I know they expanded a few years ago by like 4 teams, but the way that the NCAA tournament has gone as of late, it's fine. I hate to keep on, I know they're going to say, oh, well, it's more access and we have so many programs. If you can't, I'd say the same thing about a 12-team format in the college football playoff. With how long the regular season is for college basketball, with how long the regular season is for college football, if you can't clearly make it known and obvious that you deserve to be in the college football playoff or the NCAA tournament after your season comes to a close, you don't deserve to be there. And I know we could make arguments, this resume versus that resume, but you either have to win your conference and get the bid in automatically, right, for college basketball, or you got to be one of those at-large bids. If you can't make that clear and obvious after an entire regular season, I'm not going to sit here and say that you got screwed. So going to 72 or 76 teams, I don't need to see it. Now, I could also argue in college basketball, a lot of people don't pay attention until March anyway. So it's just kind of March Madness now has become their season. So do you maybe want to showcase more teams? You can make that point, but I'm not going to do so. I think it'd be unnecessary because the system right now is perfect. And we've seen 16 beat ones. We see 15s beat twos. It's really good the way the tournament's working right now. So John Rossi, and I've seen him say this before, do whatever you can in your power to make sure that the NCAA tournament does not get expanded. We do not need expansion in the NCAA tournament. So going to 72 or 76 teams would be a bad thing for the sport of college basketball on sides.
All right, last one here. Despite some speculation online that Texas quarterback Quinn Ewers could return for his senior season and that Arch Manning could then transfer, Anwar Richardson of Yahoo Sports said that this is not the case and Ewers is fully expected to head to the NFL. Of course, that would pave the way for a full season as Manning as a Longhorn starter. So onside, offside, seeing Arch Manning play a full season is the thing that you're most excited for in college football next season.
It's a great question.
Belichick might surpass that at this point.
No, because Belichick's not on the field. Bryce Underwood at Michigan should be fun. Seeing how Deion Sanders coaches without Shador and Travis Hunter could be of interest as well. Yeah, I don't think with the Manning name, I don't think there's anything that could top on the field seeing Arch Manning next year. So I would say, yeah, Arch Manning playing a full season is a thing that I'm most excited about for next college football season. That would be on sides. Now, I'll give you an early Heisman pick for next year because I've been thinking about this as well. I try to be a year in advance of these things, and I usually make fun of it when people end up giving predictions right after something happens. Whenever we have the NCAA tournament end and then John Fanta gives you his top 25 right after for the next season, I do find that funny. But if I had to say right now, your guy, Stu, Jeremiah Love at Notre Dame, had a really good season last year. He has the confidence. He has the brand. Notre Dame, they have a shoo-in to make the college football playoff as long as they only lose one or two games a year. I could see Jeremiah Love next year ended up being a guy that's a finalist in New York City for the Heisman Trophy. That would be my first thought.
That would excite me a lot. And he's going to have to carry the load next year with Riley Leonard leaving, graduating. Yeah. They're probably going to go to the freshman CJ Carr, so we'll see what happens. Another car in my life.
Oh,
go figure.
Jeez. Hopefully this car drives a little bit better for you.
I hope so.
I just hope so, because still you have a lot of miserable football teams. You have a lot of bad sports teams. You know, I know the Lakers used to be great, but they're not anymore. The Raiders, just a disaster. You know, your Yankees now are a pathetic joke. There's just a lot of teams that, man, you root for, and they're just terrible. I have that ability. I work with producers that just root for these horrible teams. All righty, we'll take a timeout. When we come on back, EJ Manuel is going to join us. Should Notre Dame join a conference? We'll get into that next from USAA, Army, Navy, Radio Row. Update time. Let's head back to New York City. Here is El Capitan, Marco Belletti.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Alrighty, welcome back in. This is USAA Army Navy Radio Row. It's a Zach Gelb Show coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. And now joining us is a great job in the ACC Network, and that is former Florida State quarterback EJ Manuel. EJ, how you been?
I'm doing good, Zach. How are you? I love the suit, by the way. I said Mr. America. I think you've gotten Uncle Sam. You got any other nicknames with the suit? Or?
I think that's it. You
okay.
Know,
Star Spangled Banner or something like that. But no, you look good, man.
I'll tell you, I don't think I'll have to pay for a drink tonight. Everyone's going to be like, let's get this guy liquored up tonight.
No question.
Let me start you off with quarterback play in college, because it's been clear, I think, all throughout the year in terms of the NFL draft, that Shador Sanders and Cam Ward are the two best quarterbacks when it comes to guys that are draft eligible next year. If you were the Giants or the Raiders, and let's say you had the number one overall pick, whoever that may be, who do you go with? Who do you think is the better quarterback?
That's tough.
So as far as who's the better quarterback, and again, I still look at this from the lens of they're college players. Mm-hmm. So I try to pay attention to what skill sets would carry over the quickest in the NFL. And when we had the same type of conversation around that draft class last year, I thought it was Jaden Daniels. I think Cam Ward and Shadur both have Jaden Daniels-esque kind of play. Maybe not the athleticism, the ability to run. But when I watch Shadur, a lot of the ways that he processes information, his accuracy, his timing, anticipation, he has that. And Cam Ward does too. I mean, there's a reason why Miami won, 10 games on the season. And it's unfortunate that they got cut short losing to Syracuse. And that's also a really good football team in ACC.
Fran Brown.
With Fran Brown. But I'd say it's 1A, 1B. And I said that same thing about Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels last year. And so I think they both possess a lot of talent, and they're both going to be NFL quarterbacks. I'm going to be good.
You know, it's a funny process, because I remember when I was talking to Jaden at the Heisman, Pat McAfee and Herb Street, they were both saying, this guy's getting slept on way too much. I'm like, hold on, he's about to win the Heisman. Right. But for the draft, people weren't saying, oh, top five right away. And that was just in December. And then you see in April, he's a second overall pick. And there's narratives that happen. Right. Like, they're generational guys. And right, Caleb Williams was a generational guy. And then as we got close to the draft, I go, I can't say that Jaden is better than Caleb and should go one, but I started to fall in love with Jaden the most. And it's funny, when that guy is tabbed the guy, we all get stubborn and we don't like to change, even though we've seen some other things.
So I don't base who goes in draft order as he's better than this player. I think that really is about what team picks and who they want. You know, so if a team that took Caleb Williams number one in Chicago, they just wanted Caleb. I don't think that necessarily means that, you know, Jaden is not as good as Caleb or vice versa, because it's all about a draft order. Like, you might have a player who may go ninth, but he might have been the best player on that team's draft board, and they just happened to pick ninth. So if they had that pick at one, they might have taken him at one. That's how I see it. But look, I mean, you're kind of nitpicking when we get into who's better, who's this, who's that. I think it's more about who has the best situation around them. And I certainly felt like Jaden Daniels played so much in college football that he got all the reps that were needed to work out some of the kinks of understanding blitzes and knowing where to go with a certain blitz. And again, his natural ability to take off and run, I knew it was going to be something that helped him in the rookie year, because you're not going to know everything. You're not going to know every pressure. You're not going to know every defensive coverage that's being thrown at you. So when you have that in your back pocket, that helps your confidence go even higher to know you can get yourself out of trouble.
I've been saying this since May, that I thought that Shador was going to find the way to the Raiders. I feel like Coach Prime is going to force that.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to say Cam Ward goes to the Giants. That's what I'm saying now.
I also saw Shador saying he wants to take the New York subway. So,
as someone that lives in New York, Shador, you have enough money. You can avoid the New York subway.
Hey, look, I got money and I still take the subway. So I don't mind the subway. I kind of like it. It's part of going to New York. It's like when you go to New York, you have a slice of pizza to me. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't mind the subway. So.
Sure. That's the biggest thing post-pandemic. Yeah. The subway. Play. That's where all the crazy.
No, I've been lucky though. I haven't had any crazy occurrences. Now, one of those times happened, it'll probably spoil it for me. But literally, my wife and I were there maybe 3 weeks ago for our neighbor Devon Godchild. He had a birthday party up there, and we went to the city after I finished my ACC Network stuff, and we took the subway like twice. To say we did it.
So Devon Godchild's a pretty big dude.
No question. He wasn't with us. Devon didn't do it. Me and my wife did it.
But that's a rite of passage.
I will add this. That's a cool part of being now a former player. Like I blend in. I think, you know what I'm saying.
No,
like,
you don't.
But I do though, because some people might recognize me. Like. But they don't bother me in a way. You know what I'm saying? So they keep walking, and especially playing for the Bills. You know, I'll see people in New York City, but it's all love at this point.
You know what? Next time you come to the city, I'll show you the craziest in the subway.
And the Uber's going to be on you.
Oh, yeah. And there goes my salary for the year. EJ Manuel here with us. Heisman Trophy.
Yeah.
We got Travis Hunter, Ashton Jeanty. I know Cam Ward and Dylan Gabriel also finalists. I think those guys are – one of them is going to finish in third. You think it's going to be Jeanty one and Travis two, or vice versa?
You know what? I think Travis has it locked up. When you look at the ability to play at a high level on offense and defense, and we have Jimbo Fisher, and I'm talking to Jacob Hester is our co-host on Off Campus.
Sure.
Channel 84, Sirius XM, Selfless Plug.
I used to work with Jacob.
All right, cool.
We did a Heisman together when Joe Burrow won it all.
Jimbo Fisher joins us on Tuesday as our former coach, and he made a good point about the ability to retain all that information. If you think about a game plan on offense, you got, 60, 70 plays that you'll probably run? And I'm talking about actual plays. Maybe there's some that repeat, but at least 100+ go into a game plan. Same on defense. So that part, beside the athletic ability to make interceptions and make big catches and for touchdowns, how about his mental acumen to be able to understand game plans on offense and on defense? That, to me, is why, one, he's going to probably go first in the draft, talking about these other quarterbacks. But then the other part, why he should win the Heisman Trophy.
So I want to ask you about Mike Norvell. So I've been a big fan of Mike Norvell since he was at Memphis. I went to Temple, so a little American Athletic Conference roots right there. When he first got to Florida State, you know how it is. He's a savior. And after a few years, everyone's like, why the heck is he the coach? Yep. Then he had the season that he had last year. Everyone's all on board. And this year was just an unmitigated disaster. Can he win back over the Florida State fans? Can you think he could have a year like he did last year, not the one that happened this year?
Absolutely. But the other key part about that is, like you said, he got to win. And Coach Norvell understands that. He understands what the expectation is at Florida State, and it's to win games and also win championships. You know, that year where 2023, Florida State won the ACC, undefeated 13-0, got left out of the playoff. We won't go down that hole. But that's the expectation of the fan base. Now, you may not win every single game, but it's also about how you lose. And so it hurt my soul to see us only win, I'm talking about Florida State, to win two games. And I believe one ACC game, if I'm not mistaken, one win in ACC play. And I just didn't see it coming. And honestly, when I said it out loud, I still don't believe it, Zach. Like, FSU goes 2-10. But that can't happen ever again. And I don't think it's good for college football either. Of course, you got to earn what you get, but college football needs the Miamis, the FSUs, the Clemsons in the ACC specifically to be good. And yeah, really unfortunate year.
And let's be real. DJ Uiagalelei was always overrated. I think we were trying to figure out, was it Dabo? Was it DJ? I think it was a mixture of both why it didn't work out. But to see how far he fell this year, even if you thought he was overrated, no one could have seen that.
You know what? So as far as the overrated, underrated stuff, again, I don't get into that. And look, I played the position, so I know how hard it can be. But yeah, I mean, there were some moments where I was like, can't miss those throws. Or moments where I was like, hand the ball off. You know what I mean? Like, it was just some decisions that DJ ultimately made. And I'll be curious to see what happens with him, because he technically has another year at FSU. And I saw they had just signed or committed, got a commitment from Thomas Castellanos from Boston College. Gus Malzahn now there as offensive coordinator probably fits the style of TC a little bit more than DJU.
Yeah.
But
you got Tony White and Pot Roast now,
too. Here's the part that really is unfortunate. DJU is the nicest guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you talk to him like this on the radio or just hang out with him and it's chill. Like, he's super personable, really nice kid, and you want success for him. But unfortunately, at Florida State, specifically this year, didn't happen.
When you look at Belichick going to UNC, I just had RG3 on, and he was saying the ceiling for Belichick is to win a national championship. And
come on, RG3, what?
It's to win an ACC championship.
Yeah, let's start.
Because,
reasonably.
Like, hey, no disrespect to Clemson, no disrespect to SMU. They're two ACC teams in the playoff this year. I don't see how they're going to win a national championship this year. So,
well, we'll see about that. But as far as Coach Belichick, I don't say the expectation should be like national championship. Look, he doesn't have Tom Brady. I mean, like, Coach Belichick's an excellent coach. He's a 6-time Super Bowl winning coach, but he also had Hall of Famers on those football teams and guys who he developed. And that's the key term that I got from his press conference yesterday. He talked about development, and he didn't even set expectations of, you know, hey, I'm going to bring this, I'm going to win ACC. We're going to go to the drawing board. We're going to build this roster. We're going to build this football team. That's an honest, realistic answer.
Day by day. All right,
EJ. But see, again, when you play the game, you know that's exactly the truth. Like, I can't come in and expect all of a sudden to turn around a team that just went 6-6 and take them to the national championship. Now, if you go into the portal or you recruit some high school kids, maybe that can turn it around. It happened for Florida State with Coach Norvell. So it's possible. But to say that should be the expectation, and I get what RG3 is saying, the ceiling for every team. But for me, I'm excited Coach Belichick's in the ACC. One, I think it brings validity to the conference because most people are like, why didn't you go SEC or why didn't you go Big Ten? ACC football is good too, guys. They got good players as well, okay? Everybody relax. ACC is good. But the other part, I think it's great for the young men that are going to get recruited there because you are genuinely going to get prepared for the NFL. Now, whether you make it or not, that's up to you as far as talent. But ultimately, as far as the preparation, Coach Belichick can get you right.
The transfer portal, since we keep on talking about it, I'm pro NIL, I'm pro transfer portal. It'd be nice if there was like some more rules.
You're
there.
Pro America too.
Yes, I am. Of course. Anything for more people to get money. Just make sure you give me a cut and I'll be okay with it. But when I look at the transfer portal, I kind of equate it to me playing blackjack.
Okay.
Where there's times where I could be Florida State and I'm hot and I look like I'm walking out of the casino with a big bag of cash. But then you know you're going to lose that money quick. And if you build your entire program off the transfer portal, you're going to be walking out of the casino with no money.
Fair enough. I think with the transfer portal, it's great for players to have that opportunity to see what else is out there. But for coaches to try to build their roster, look, every situation is different because everybody laughed at Deion Sanders when he got the head coaching job at Colorado, brought a lot of his kids, the Louis luggage and all that, you know, obviously imagery, but brought a lot of his players from Jackson State to Colorado. They're going to a bowl game and they almost made it to a CFP. So who's laughing now? His son's going to probably be a top 5 pick. Travis Hunter's probably going to be the number 1 overall pick. So I think there's ways to do it, but you're right. It is somewhat of a crapshoot or a blackjack game. But in football, anyways, like in recruiting, in draft, anyways, like nobody truly knows who's going to be a for sure success. It's football. That's why it's a game. And so I think that's the exciting part about the transfer portal. Give the guys the opportunity, and ultimately it's up to them. Make the most of it.
Yeah, I'm also a crappy blackjack player because I get bored. So, if you're playing for an hour.
You can't play blackjack,
and
you get bored.
And you're only up by 100. It's like, I just put all this time for 100. Let me just throw all the 100 in the middle of the table, and the dealer gets 21.
See, this is why you don't want to ride the subway because you're wasting money in the blackjack table, man. Come on, bro. You can be using that money on Ubers and taxis, man.
I don't know. The Ubers in New York are crazy.
I add this. I know I'm going on a limb here, but I love the city bikes in New York City. As long as it's over 65 degrees. You know, now they got the city bikes where it's electric.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was there maybe 2 times ago when I was in doing Seaport, ESPN, Get Up. And I had the evening before, I got on one of the bikes. I was expecting it to be like the normal blue city bike. It was a new one.
Different.
That thing took off, man. I was like, oh, this is awesome.
You got to be careful, man, though.
Yeah, I was. Trust me,
Because those cars, they don't care that you're on
a
bike.
I stay in the lanes, or I try to hit the West Side Highway. I used to have a place in the city on 42nd and 11th when I was in the league, so I know it pretty well. I love New York.
Gotcha. Yeah. Does Notre Dame need to join a conference full-time ACC?
Yeah, man, they do. They do. I understand the business part of why they don't. But I would love if they joined the ACC. Again, it would add more validity, similar to what I said about Coach Belichick. But also, it levels the playing ground because technically, if you think about it, Notre Dame gets their own spot in the playoff. It's either they get it or they don't.
Yeah.
It's almost similar to a G5 team. If they'd have lost one more game, they wouldn't have gotten a spot. And that would have gave another Power 4 team an opportunity. So I hope that they, at some point, join either the ACC or a conference to play that conference championship like everybody else has to.
Last thing I'll ask you. How does Clemson and how does SMU win their first round matchups?
Got you. So for Clemson, handle the situation. I think defensively, you have to get pressure on Quinn Ewers. Quinn Ewers is 48% completing the ball under pressure. But funny enough, he's 64% versus the blitz. The difference is pressure is four guys rushing, and then blitz is obviously bring linebackers and exterior guys. For SMU, handle the moment. I think what you have 36,000 fans in their stadium in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now you're about to go
100,000,
106,000 in Happy Valley. It's going to be cold.
It's a cold
so that's
pair.
Why I say handle the environment. But SMU is going to shock a lot of people. And Rhett Lashley, their head coach, one of the best play callers in all of college football.
PZJ Manuel, of course, does a great job. ACC Network. You listen to him on Sirius XM, just how you hear this show as well. And he's here today on behalf of USA Army Navy Radio Row. EJ, great to see you.
Great to see you too. Appreciate it.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by Sleeper. Just download the Sleeper app today and use code SCORE when signing up. Must be present in certain states. Visit sleeper.com for details. Sponsored by Sleeper, a Blitz product. So we ended that conversation with EJ Manuel live from USAA Army Navy Radio Row, and it was talking about those two schools from the ACC in Clemson and SMU that are in the college football playoff. And if you look at the road for Clemson and also SMU to win the game, it's just at halftime, be in it, like with a touchdown or less. Because all the pressure between Clemson and Texas is on Texas. All the pressure between SMU and Penn State is on Penn State. And I look at Penn State, there's a conversation about them that they can't win the big game. And James Franklin wins a lot of games, but not the big games. Like, we're patting him on the head, James Franklin, for only losing by 8 points to Oregon in a Big Ten championship game. You know, the praise that I've seen of James Franklin after keeping it within 8 points in a Big Ten championship game, and it felt like that game was for most of it was by 14 points, and they scored the touchdown at the end, and obviously, right, with the whole two-point conversion situation, how that did play on out. It's amazing some of the overpraising that has been done to Penn State when they still lost a Big Ten championship game. So I would say for SMU and Clemson, you just got to be within a touchdown at halftime, and then all the pressure goes to Sark and all the pressure goes to James Franklin. And I look at SMU, I could see the stage being too big for them, for Penn State, 108,000 screaming fans going nuts. And also you have SMU going into the cold of Happy Valley. I'm not saying Texas. I haven't thought on who's going to win that game yet in terms of making the final prediction. But Texas, even though they are an incredibly well-rounded team, their best win this year is A&M. And Dabo Sweeney, say what you want, how much we have clowned him really the last few years, Dabo Sweeney is a multiple-time national championship-winning coach. Like, I don't think the stage – Clemson may not be good enough to beat Texas. They got smacked by Georgia earlier this year, and Texas played one really close game up against Georgia, and the second one they got into it in the second half, which was the first time. But I don't think the stage for Clemson and Dabo is going to be the reason why they lose. So I still look at that, the road after that, whoever gets through, and I do think it's going to be Texas right now, and I would say it's going to be Penn State, and don't hold me to that prediction. But I'm still looking at Arizona State and Boise State, and I'm not saying both are going to get to the semifinal, but I do think one of those teams are going to get to the semifinal. We'll take a break. Zach Gelb Show right here live on Radio Row, USAA Army Navy Radio Row. When we come on back, Ron Rivera is going to join us.